news right there. I'm loved by God and God loves me. It's so cool, so good. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now, I know that we've all been affected by the smoke. And Father, we just pray right now that you bring the rain, Lord, in the spirit and in the natural, God. We just ask you to flood Washington, Oregon, and California with rain, God. And just, Lord, it's just an indicator of what's going on in our country, Lord. And we just pray, Father, right now, that your will would be done in our land, God. We just rebuke the enemy and his plans for evil. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for touching our land. We love you, we trust you, we honor you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. The smoke has been causing havoc with a lot of people. It's got my sinuses in a... They're just having fun right now. But we'll get through it, amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. If you'll, again, turn your Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Glory to God. I'm so excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about what God is saying and what He wants to do and how He wants to move tonight. Glory to God. I believe you came for a purpose, and all those that are watching or be watching later, God's got a message for you, and it's simple, but yet it's so profound, and it's something that we just let slip. But again, we've been using this verse, but we're going to use it again tonight. And he said this in verse 37, on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart, the King James says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Will flow rivers of living water. The Spirit of God doesn't primarily speak to us, and we're talking about the Spirit of God being in us and us being led by the Spirit and the Spirit of God using us for purpose, right? That's what we're talking about, and we have been talking about for a few weeks. But tonight I want to just kind of focus in on a couple of things. Your spirit, your inner man, is not in your head, right? It communicates with your head, but it's not in your head. He said, out of your belly, and the King James, another version, said, out of your heart. But it's not talking about this. You know, it's not talking about that physical pump. It's talking about the core of who you are. So when God speaks to you, it's going to be out of your belly. And we'll talk about that a little bit more and actually demonstrate it. Because when God wants to lead you, He's going to lead you out of here. Let me say that again. He's going to lead you out of here, not out of here. If we can get emotional and we can get all of that and try to be led out of here, and we're just going to be in all kinds of directions. But if we can learn to get quiet before God and really start to listen to our heart rather than our head, then we can bypass our brain and let God speak to us. And when He speaks to us, things turn out all right. Turn to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans in the 8th chapter. Hallelujah, glory to God. Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I've taught the book of Romans before. And I start in chapter 8 and then go back to chapter 1 because chapter 8 kind of sums up a lot of things. But in chapter 8, and go to verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And this sons of God is not the normal sons of God, it's a mature Son of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, that'll bring you to a place of maturity. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. How about you? Right? When you love it to have Him constantly leading you, how many think you could probably not make as many mistakes if you know that the Spirit of God is behind every decision that you're going to make? Right now, the Spirit of God will make you, or leads you into places that may not be comfortable because your flesh doesn't like to get uncomfortable, but He's leading you to higher places. If you're going to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God and come to maturity, then He's got to get some things off of you that are holding you back in order for you to get to the place. But it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Now, I want to do a little experiment with you, and if you're watching via the internet, I want you just to do that. I want you to close your eyes for just a minute. Just close your eyes. If you're here in the room or watching, and just put your hands over your belly. And just focus on the Lord. Just focus on the Lord. And just say this. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. Now, if you're listening to your spirit, you just got a witness that you are a child of God. Now, if you didn't get that witness, if there wasn't peace in your heart, then you really probably need to get born again, right? But on the inside, God is leading you and guiding you that you are a child of God. And you know what? God's not really worried about the fires. God's not worried about Antifa. God's not worried about the election. Right? He's got it all covered, all controlled. God will always lead you to peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, many of us struggle with that because our head isn't at peace at all. Our head is going, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about what if this happens? What if that happens? What, you know, this one said this and that one said that, and there's confusion all around you. But you got to know that God is not the author of confusion. God is the one that will lead you to peace. And if you're not at peace, I can almost guarantee you that you're listening to your head and not your heart. So if we want to be led by the Spirit of God, and again, the purpose of being led by the Spirit of God is not just so that we can have all of our needs met, but it's so that God can use us to demonstrate Himself to other people, right? God wants to use you to prove Himself to other people. But it isn't going to be out of your head, it's going to be out of your heart. How many of you tried to witness to somebody, or you're thinking about, God, I really feel like I got to witness to so-and-so, and Lord, I just need to, you know, I got to think about this, and I've got to figure this out, and I need to have the right things to say to him or her, and it's just got to, because God, they're a tough case, right? I mean, they're hard. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to get through to them. Well, stop it. It's not your job, watch this, to lead them to Christ. It's your job to present them to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will draw all men unto Himself. So, in other words, it's like, Lord, help me. And then give me a trust and a peace that if you put me in a position to witness to somebody, you'll give me the words to say to them. Now, the results are not up to me. It's between you and them at that point, whether they receive it or not. Right? But every bit of the leading of the Holy Spirit has got to come when we quiet our minds down and listen to our spirit. Now watch this, because this is where it kind of gets a little bit confusing, because the impressions that come from our spirit will have to be filtered through our minds. Right? I mean, it's not like God has a megaphone that He supersedes our brain. Oftentimes, the way we're led by the Spirit of God is you'll get a thought. Sometimes it is just a peace. Oftentimes, it's you get a check in your spirit. not in your head, but in your spirit. It's like, no. No, that's just not right. I can't do that. Listen, you'd have saved yourself a lot of money if you'd have made purchases listening to your heart rather than your head, right? You would have made some really good deals and avoided some bad deals, because God is interested in all of that, but it's learning to begin to be led by that, to be guided by that, right? And the more that we can do that, the better off we're going to be. I violated that many times in my life and had to pay the price for it. One time we were, it was a car thing, and we were going to trade this old car and get another car. Man, I was so excited about getting this car. And man, it was a good car, a good reputation, everything. Man, I'm going to trade it. Something inside just didn't like it. But man, it was a Christian car company that was going to, so man, this is going to be a good deal. Something inside was, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Well, we did it. I've never had a car smoke so much in my whole life as this car did. I mean, it was just down the road, just look at the back and just a cloud of smoke behind. It was a Christian company, and they made good on the fact that, like, a week later, I went, man, this thing is bad. Because I took it to a mechanic. The mechanic said, this motor's shot. You're going to have a new one. So I took it back to them, and they gave me this other car. And the other car was an okay car, but it wasn't one I liked. But I spent 3 years paying it off, and I didn't like it at all. But yet And it all started because I didn't listen on the inside. I didn't listen right here. So major decisions, we should definitely take time praying and asking God, but not trying to figure it out with our head or our emotions. Because sometimes we go, well, this feels right to me. Boy, this feels right. And often it's nothing more than the feeling of our wanting it versus what God is saying to us, right? It's like, boy, I really like that car. That car is the perfect car. It's got the right color. It's everything. Yeah, the payments are a little bit much, but I really want it. And the salesman told me I could afford it. That's got to be God, right? I've heard this before. That's got to be God. Look at God did this. And man, you suffer making those payments. God does it, but and it's all because you violated the spirit on the inside of you. Greed will do that. Other emotions will cause you to violate that still small voice that's on the inside, but you got to start learning to go by it. Again, this is not how Bruce messed up our, but you can identify with it. Years ago, I was going to Rhema, and there was an offering being taken up, and the person that was presenting the offering was giving a testimony about how he gave, and God gave back to him, a hundredfold, and just awesome. Well, I went to school with enough money to pay the tuition of that first year, all paid up, no problem. And I think it was like $1,300. Back in 1980, that was a pretty good sum. Now today, it's not that big a deal. But $1,300, and I could have paid it all off. But that offering came up, and I started calculating in my head. Now, wait a minute. If I give the 13 and I just get 10%, 10 times, not 100, but I'm not greedy, I just 10, that's $13,000. That'd be nice. But it was the spirit of greed that was leading me to it. God had already given me the provision to pay for it the year, but I just went, $13,000 is a lot better than, God will, this is going to be miraculous, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't God. God wasn't leading me that way. I was listening to the emotion of somebody who's giving a testimony, not really spending time to see what God wanted me to do. I gave away that money, wrote a check out, and man, it was tough to pay my tuition that year. Because every month I had to come up then with the amount to go to that. And sometimes, I've told you this before, but I worked at 7-Eleven, and I ate dried hot dogs for dinner. And that's all I ate that day because I couldn't afford anything else because of, you know. And all because I didn't listen to that check in my spirit when that offering came up. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't His best. But I violated listening on the inside. So whenever, how many have ever been rushed to a decision? We got to do this. 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 And you do it and it turns out wrong. I don't believe, and how many have ever had a salesman? Well, you better, if you want this, you better get it because it might not be here tomorrow, right? Have you ever thought that? Again, that is emotion or pressure from the outside trying to get you to be led by that emotion or by your flesh. And what we want to be led by is the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit, not only that we're children of God, but that God is leading us in a particular direction. So we need to go by that. I'll give you another story from me. I was in that first year of going to school, and I'm at a meeting. Another offering's being taken up. And this time, man, I'm broke, right? I'm broke. But I got like $1.50 worth of change in my pocket. And the offering comes on, and I felt the Lord say, give everything you got into that offering. But Lord, I was just going to go buy a hot dog and a Coke afterwards or something, and that was going to be my lunch. But if that's what you're telling me to do, I'll do it. So I emptied it into the bucket, and I went, okay, you know, I guess I'm fasting today. Well, I happened to get a ride that day with another Rhema student, and we're leaving the service, and she said to me, she said, you know, the Lord has just spoken to me to buy your lunch. Instead of a hot dog and a Coke, I got a great Mexican meal, right? Because I listened to what the Spirit of God was saying to me. So even in those things, you've got to begin to be listening to what the Spirit of God is saying. Right. How many have ever felt like something is telling you, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that, and you violate that, and then you have to suffer the repercussion for days, months, years, because you didn't listen to that inside voice. The Holy Spirit will lead you, but you've got to begin to become instantly obedient to that inner voice. In other words, it's like, I'm feeling a leading, or I'm feeling impressed. Well, I'm going to, you know, stay with that until I'm assured that I'm going to act on it no matter what it is. God, if you're leading me to do this, I'm going to do it. The results aren't even a consideration. You never, for instance, in giving, if God tells you to give something away, it's never with a condition of, okay, I'll do that if you do this. No strings attached. God, I'm just going to trust you. If I give and it costs me everything, Lord, that's no problem. You know, we just do that. It was not too long ago the Lord put on my heart to give away a car. And so we just gave it away. No strings attached, nothing combined with it. Gave it away, nothing, you know. But it wasn't long before God supplied something completely different and better and all of that. But I don't care if He did or He didn't. That wasn't the issue. The issue was my obedience to that witness that's on the inside. Now, I got that witness, and of course, I'm married, so I talked to my wife about that to make sure that she was in agreement with that. And we both collectively got that in our spirits, that God was leading us in that direction. And so, it's very imperative that we begin to spend time with God and get our minds quiet, and especially when there's a rushed pressure decision, you just say, man, I'm not being moved by this pressure. I refuse to make a decision under pressure. Holy Spirit, you're going to lead me. You're going to guide me. You're going to show me. But watch this. The Holy Spirit isn't in you just waiting forever to make a decision. He's going to lead you. And once he leads you, you've got to step out and do something, right? It's not just in, I'm just waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you to allow him to use you in certain areas. Amen? Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm so excited because I believe even in this hour, God wants to give you peace in the midst of the turmoil. I know Christians are just pulling their hair out. Well, what if this happens? And what if she gets elected? Or what if he gets elected? What, you know, what's going to happen? Well, I don't care, really. I mean, I care, but it doesn't sway me either way who's elected or who's not, because God's still on the throne and God will still lead me and God will still guide me. Well, what if they start persecuting the church? And what if they tell us that we can't meet? And what if they, well, so what? That doesn't take God off the throne. I just got to continue to listen to his spirit, right? And go by that. If I listen to my head, if I listen to my emotions, things get crazy. But if I listen to my heart, God will always lead me back to peace. It's always, Bruce, I got this. Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be okay. Yeah, but Lord, you know. Lord, they've sold our building. God, what are we going to do now? It'll be all right. Don't worry about it. I'm still in it. I'm still with you. I'm still going to take care of you. Don't worry about that. I've got it. And, you know, God has blessed us. He's continuing to bless us. And I'm telling you, I just feel like there's something great coming. And in my spirit, I just know it. Well, I'll be honest with you. When the news came that the building sold and that we had to be out in a certain time, I went, well, God, what does this mean? Am I done? I mean, you know, really, literally, is this a time that we close a new beginning and we you know, go on to something else or something else you have for me? Or, you know, how does this operate? Do we just liquidate everything? But inside I said, nope, that's not right. That's not right. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep, you know, no matter what it takes, no matter what, you know. And again, be honest with you, I was talking with the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't really want to tear down and set up. I did that 20 years ago. I was 20 years younger, and man, that's a pain. I don't want to do that anymore. And I got to thinking about that for a little while, and I heard, you wouldn't do that for me? And, oh, forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. I'll do whatever it takes. If you're asking me to do it, it doesn't matter how hard it is. That's not even a question. You'll give me the strength to do it. And so it's like you have to listen past the emotions and let it get into your heart so that you're, you know, you're listening to him. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And we can go to many different verses, but we'll watch this. In verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you're walking in a cloud all the time going, you know, I can't even see anything because I'm in the Spirit? No, that's not what it means. It means walk in connection with the Spirit who's inside of you. Do that on a continual daily basis. In other words, make that your pattern for life. Walk in the Spirit, and he'll guide you in such a way that the lust of the flesh won't be in operation in your life. In fact, the power over the flesh is the Spirit that lives on the inside of you. But you've got to stay connected with that, right? And you can't give into your flesh and all of the things that go with it. How many know that we all have flesh, and all of that flesh sometimes comes out in ways that aren't healthy? The flesh can get us in trouble, right? The flesh is spoiled. The flesh wants what it wants. But if you listen to the Spirit of God will lead you to the place where you're supposed to be. the place that you need to be, not necessarily where you want to be, because sometimes where we want to be is not what's best for us, right? As kids, we would have rather had candy than we would good food, right? Let's skip dinner, Mom. Let's have cake, right? And that's what we wanted, but that wasn't what was the most beneficial to us. And the Spirit of God is dealing with us, and we're just kids that are a little older, right? God, help me, lead me, guide me. And He will. It's His desire to do it. He wants to do it. It's His job. He is our counselor. He will lead us, as we've talked about before, into all things. But we've got to walk not only with Him, but in Him. I'm determined to be led by the Spirit. So I have to be in a position on a continual basis where I'm actively pursuing listening to my heart rather than my head. And I have to get quiet before God and in a position where I can shut my mind off long enough, especially my feelings. There's nothing wrong with feelings, but we can't be led by our feelings. Feelings are a good indicator of where our heart is, right? Where our emotions and everything can lead us to that. But what we have to do is go, listen, that emotion is not true, it's not honest, it's not just, it's not of a good report. You know. Listen, God didn't answer my prayer, so He must be mad at me. Right? Or that didn't happen, so God, where are You? What, you know? And there are people who walked away from God because they didn't feel like God answered them in the way that they thought it should happen. And so they're really, they're not listening to their spirit. They're listening to their emotions, and it's led them away from God instead of to God. So walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you do that? How do you walk in the Spirit? Well, I think there's several ways to do it. One of it is just get in the Word and start meditating on the Word. Start meditating on the Word of God. The other is to pray in the Spirit. If you have a prayer language, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit a lot. The Bible says that he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. So your flesh has nothing to do, or your feelings have nothing to do with whether you're being built up or not. Right? There's times I've prayed in the Holy Spirit for an hour, just nothing but praying in tongues, and felt nothing. Absolutely zip. But I know that in my spirit, I'm being built up, right? And I'm speaking mysteries to God, and God is speaking to me and through me. And then there are times where it's like, man, the more I pray in the Spirit, it seems like the more sensitive I am to the Spirit of God, the more the gifts of the Spirit in operation in me, the more, you know, it may not look like it on the outside, and things may have not changed on the outside, but praying in the Spirit is a way of walking with the Spirit. And you know, you can pray in the Spirit if you have your prayer language all day long. You can pray anytime you want. You can pray for other people in the Spirit. You could be, and it's a way of bypassing your mind. Paul said this, when I pray in the Spirit, my mind is unfruitful. In other words, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know where I'm going, but it's building me up in the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit is a great way to walk in the Spirit. I think praise is a great way to walk in the Spirit. I don't always feel like praising the Lord. In fact, sometimes it's with gritted teeth that I start out. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. But the more you practice that, the more you're in a position to hear what God is saying, and the more you won't be drawn away from your emotions. I've told this story before, but I think it's funny and it kind of fits in. I've been walking with the Lord for a long time through Bible school, and you know, and I'm up on this. We lived on the south shore of Hood Canal. I'm building this shed carport type of thing, and I'm up on a ladder, and we lived on a hill, so the front of it was, you know, probably 16 feet up in the air. I'm up on the ladder putting some plywood in, you know, and I hit the wrong nail. the old hammer hit the wrong nail. It was my thumbnail. And I came down off of that ladder, not with the language that I would have before I was walking in the Spirit. I came off of that language, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. That was a transformation by a lifestyle of living, walking in the Spirit. Because, you know, before I got saved, it would not have been praise God, I can tell you that. Right? And I've heard other Christians who maybe aren't walking in the Spirit or haven't spent time with the Spirit and in the Spirit, I've heard them go right back into the flesh, and the language that comes out of them is worse than, you know, four sailors, right? But the more you walk in the Spirit almost helps you to put a damper on that so that you're living outside of that. Does that make sense? So I want to walk in the Spirit. In fact, here's what I say. If you're having trouble with your flesh in any area, whether it be addiction, whether it be habit, whether it be things that you're saying, you know, whatever it is, say, Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you now to help me. And the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has given me power over this, the spirit of sin and death. And Lord, I'm just going to start walking in you. I'm not even going to try to quit doing the thing that I'm having trouble with. I'm just going to pursue and push into you in a greater capacity. And doing that, the Spirit of God then has access to give you the keys or the ideas for you to be free of that thing. I believe God wants us to walk in total freedom of anything that would try to pressure us. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to us about that issue, we've got to be obedient not to do it. A man years ago, he was a cocaholic. You know, back in the day, he was a cocaholic. He'd drink a half a case of Coke a day, right? Christian guy, so it wasn't beer, but it was Coke. And it was one of those deals where if he didn't have a Coke, he was looking for one. And the Spirit of God started to speak to him about not being dependent on anything but him. And he went to reach for a Coke one day and he went, wait a minute. I refuse to be dependent or obligated to anything controlling me but the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him not to have another one. He hasn't had one since that day, right? But he had a choice to make of whether he was going to walk in the Spirit or continue to let the flesh control him. But where did that come from? It was in his spirit, a thought came up to his mind, and then he had to act on it. And oftentimes when the Spirit is speaking to you, the enemy is trying to come in and bring all kinds of confusion to you. But drop down now to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is the result of walking in the Spirit. Walking with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, there's a result or there's something that happens. You have it's like cause and effect. Here's the cause is I'm walking in the Spirit. The effect is what we're going to list. So if I want the things that we're going to list, I've got to operate in the cause. Does that make sense? So it says again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Walking in the Spirit and walking by faith and letting the Spirit lead you, this is the result. I like this list. Because I like love. I like joy. I really like peace. In fact, Renita and I, years ago, we just decided that we're going to have a peaceful home. We refuse to not have peace in our home. We refuse it. We come against it. When confusion or strife enters, we don't allow it to stay. And we've had people come to our house, and you know, we live in a beautiful place and all of that. But they said, man, it's so peaceful here. And I never really say it, but that's on purpose. That's because the fruit of the Spirit is an operation, because we're walking with the Spirit. Not perfectly, but we're walking with the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. So the walking in the Spirit and let the Spirit lead you is the answer to your anger, is the answer to your rage, is the answer to everything that's stealing your peace, the confusion, everything. It's like, Holy Spirit, look it. If I'm not walking in this fruit, then it's because I'm not really letting you lead and guide me. So that's a good indicator, right, that this isn't happening. So sometimes if you're not reaping the results that you want, you have to go back to what's causing you not to reap the result. Okay, I'm being led, driven more by my emotions than I am by the Spirit, because the Spirit is always going to lead you in a way of peace. Make sense? Come on. So look it again. The fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of walking in the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Look, maybe you're not a kind person. Do you know there are people that aren't kind? Just by nature, they're not kind. And that's led by so many different things. I mean, they're not kind because they've been stepped on all their lives, and I'm not going to let anybody step on me. I'm going to get them first, you know. I mean, that type of thing, that they're not kind. And then you got other people that, man, they're just so kind, it just oozes off them. I got an acquaintance of mine. He is the kindest man I've ever met in my life. And I mean, he just loves everybody, knows everybody, and is kind to everybody. Even when he's, you know, he has to deal with a situation that is confrontational, he's kind about it. Where does that come from? That comes from his walk with the Spirit of God. And so if you're not kind, if you're not the kind of person that you're inclined to be kind, then first of all, you have to get over yourself. And you have to say, this isn't walking in the Spirit. This isn't walking with the Spirit. The Spirit of God doesn't have control of my life, and I'm not being controlled by the Spirit, because kindness is part of the fruit of having that control. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of these things, there is no law. Now watch this. This is really cool. But the more I walk with the Spirit, the more that He'll give me the strength and the power to overcome the things that violate this, right? It's so good. You see, now watch this, because this is in conjunction with it. Verse 24 says, those who are Christ, who in here is of Christ? Anybody in here? Jesus is your Lord, and you know, you've given your heart to Him, you've given your life to Him. He, come on, watch this. It says, and those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When I gave Jesus Christ my life, and when He became the Lord of my life, that was the day that I died to myself. I would love to tell you that I kept myself in the grave ever since then. But the reality is, the more I walk with the Spirit, and if I'm walking in the Spirit, that dead man will stay dead, because the Spirit out of your belly will lead you to not let Him rise back up. Right? So if I'm crucified with Christ, then I'm going to live differently. Watch now. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. My objective tonight is to remind us that there's a place in the Spirit where we can walk, where it will affect every other part of our lives. Right? It'll affect how I talk to people. It'll affect how I walk with people. Now, I'm not the judge. but somebody who gets born again and it doesn't change anything about them, something's not right. Something's not right. And it could be that they got born again, but they weren't discipled at all, so they just didn't read their Bible. They didn't come to church. They didn't, you know, praise God. They didn't get in the atmosphere of God. And so they're not walking in the Spirit, right? They're not walking with the Spirit, so nothing's changed. But people I've noticed that begin to do the things that God wants them to do, it causes such a change in them that people around, you know, I'm just looking at Marty, and I'm thinking of how when she came to the Lord, people around her said, "What happened to you?" Her kids went, "Mom, you're not going to get mad?" And really what they said, "You're not going to throw a fit here? We're used to your fits, Mom. What happened?" Jesus happened. The Spirit of God happened. There's something that changed on the inside of me that I don't have to do that anymore, because the fruit of walking with God is this. Right? And so if you're falling back into old patterns, is a pretty good indication that you need to get back to walking not only in the Spirit, but with the Spirit. Right? I'm in the Spirit because Jesus is Lord of my life, and that He's taken me from darkness and into light. I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God's my Father. I'm in the Spirit with Him, right? But I have to continually walk with Him in light of that, so that things can happen in a way, you know, that are good. I didn't turn down my phone, so it's continually beeping. So that's where that's coming from. The thing that I want you to do, I haven't done. So we have to get back to the place. If we're struggling in an area, God help us. Holy Spirit, I want to be with you more. And it's very fruitful if we begin to discipline ourselves on a consistent basis to have time with the Holy Spirit and begin to act like He's really active in our lives. How do you do that? You wake up in the morning, you say, "Holy Spirit, I thank you. I just come into the presence of the Father by the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I believe you live in me, that you're guiding me, that you're teaching me, that you're showing me the way to go. Holy Spirit, I just give you access to my heart, and I want to listen to you." And at times we've got to practice being quiet before God. You know, if we really believe that God listens to our prayers, and we really wanted answers to our prayer, we'd learn to listen more than we talk. But if our prayers, well, you know, "Lord, I need this, 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 and I'll see you later, talk to you later." God's I've got people that I've talked to on the phone, and they'll call me up, you know, and it's, we've got a relationship, but we're talking on the phone, and they'll talk for 10 minutes. And man, they'll tell me everything that's going on with them. I'll begin to say something about me. "I got to go." It's just weird, right? It's just weird. Well, you know, and sometimes that's the way prayer is. We're on the phone with God, right? "God, I need this, I need this. And God, why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? Why isn't that happening? Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, you're not answering me the way I want you to, so I'm going to go do something else." And what we have to do is we have to learn to be still before God. So in our prayer time, I believe that we have to practice getting quiet before God. Here's what happens, though, the minute that you start to get quiet before God, the brain goes, "What about this? What about that? You haven't eaten yet. What, you know, I mean, and what are you going to do? And you got to do this, and you got to do that. And what do you have to do? You have to discipline yourself to shut that back down." So how do you do that? Here's how I do it. I pray in the Holy Ghost, and I have a scripture that's my focus point. I'll have one scripture, or maybe that I'm just meditating on. So when my thoughts start to drift, I can come right back to that. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it directs my mind back to my heart. And then out of my heart, I can hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And it's just remarkable because His presence can be with you 24/7. You can walk in the Spirit, but you can also walk with the Spirit. But it's a heart thing and it's not a head thing. And you've got to discipline your head to listen to your heart. It's wonderful in the practice of it. When you get involved and you begin to practice it, at first it might take a while for you to discipline yourself to do that. But after a while it's like, Holy Spirit, and you're right there. You're right there. And He can begin to speak to you. But again, just go over in closing, that we have to put ourselves in a position to hear what the Spirit is saying. And He's going to speak out of our heart and not our head. And so we've got to get in the place where we're not making rash decisions. We're not pressured to make decisions. And we refuse to make decisions out of confusion. Because God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. We cannot get so wrapped up into our emotions that we quit listening to our heart. And now our emotions might lead us to some place, direct us to some place, and we don't just discount those. But at the same time, I refuse to be led by what other people think, what other people say. It doesn't matter to me, right? Not if I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. Because how many know that the devil will use other people to push your buttons? But as we all know, you're in control of your buttons. Nobody can push your buttons unless you allow them to. Nobody can make you mad. Nobody can make you sad. Nobody can make you do anything unless you give them the control to do it. So what we have to do when that we're feeling that, don't get under condemnation, but when you're feeling that, go, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I refuse to go there. I refuse to allow the enemy to use other people to keep me out of the fruit of walking with the Spirit. My goal is to walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's my goal. And if I'm not there, I'm going to continue to seek Him to get there. Amen? Y'all get something tonight? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for everybody that's here tonight, and I thank You for everybody that's listening tonight. Lord, I thank You that those who are staying home because of the smoky area, God, I just ask You to bless them and keep them. Lord, we pray for all the firefighters right now, God, that are on the front lines. They've been out there for days and days fighting these fires. I just ask You, God, to give them strength, keep them safe in Jesus' name. And any person that has started a fire, God, I ask You to reveal to the authorities who it is. And Father, let the justice be done where that's concerned. Father, we pray for the salvation of all those who would be demented enough to do that. And Lord, we just ask You tonight, God, to speak to our hearts because we're listening. Speak to our hearts, God, because we're listening. Right now, Holy Spirit, I ask You, right now, as we're sitting in this room, as we're watching via the internet, Lord, I just ask You to speak to the hearts of the people that are listening. I thank You for the anointing, God, that has been poured out because Your word has gone forth. And Lord, I thank You that there will be fruit from it. And we give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. You can't be led by the Spirit unless you're a child of God. And the only way to become a child of God is letting Jesus be your Lord or Messiah. You won't let Jesus become your Lord unless you know that you know that you know that you can't get right with God on your own, not by your effort, because all of us have fallen short of His glory. But the Spirit of God inside of us will allow this, if you make Jesus the Lord of your life, He'll come into your heart. and the Spirit of God will lead you into good things. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just pray and ask Him to become Lord. He'll do it. He'll meet you right where you are. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.